according to John. Jesus raised his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Give glory to your Son, that your Son may glorify you, just as you gave him authority over all people, so that your Son may give eternal life to all you gave him. Now this is eternal life, that they should know you, the only true God, and the one whom you sent, Jesus Christ. I glorified you on earth by accomplishing the work that you gave me to do. Now glorify me, Father, with you, with the glory that I had with you before the world began. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for the ones you have given me, because they are yours, and everything of mine is yours. Everything of yours is mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I will no longer be in the world, for they are in the world, but I am coming to you. The Gospel of the Lord. It's good to be back in the pulpit. I want to thank you for your prayers, and I must confess that your concern for me overwhelmed me. You're good people, and I'm very grateful to be here. Let me share an observation with you that I think might give us some type of a clue as to why, for example, in our own parish, or our own diocese, only 28% of Catholics are attending Mass. A week ago Thursday, we toured the cathedral in Seville, Spain. That cathedral is the third largest church in the world. And even as enormous as it is, when you're in there with the thousands of tourists, you feel like this. The altar in the cathedral at Seville is the largest altar in the world. It's over 58 feet high, and it's all made of wood, all hand-carved squares about that square, depicting the life of Christ. And that when it was carved in the 12th and 13th centuries, they then covered it completely with gold leaf. It's a masterpiece to behold. Christopher Columbus is buried in the cathedral in a rather ornate tomb. There are four larger-than-life Spanish noblemen, each standing with a spear, and on their shoulders they're carrying a catafalque in which Christopher Columbus is buried. When we were in the cathedral, I noticed a sign that there was going to be a Mass the next morning at 10 o'clock. And so I decided to go over for the Mass. And when I went to the door where tourists go in, it was closed and it said the cathedral didn't open until 11 o'clock. And I thought there has to be another door, so I walked all the way around the back of the cathedral and there was another door and I went in. The cardinal celebrated the Mass. And in that huge, cavernous cathedral, there were 21 of us. At the end of the Mass, I looked at my watch, and it was 10:30. See, even a cardinal can say Mass in a half hour. And I thought, I'm just going to wander through the cathedral, and no one else was in there. So finally I left, and I had to go back around the cathedral and past the tourist entrance to get back to our hotel. And when I came around the back of the cathedral, I stopped dead in my tracks, because there, lined up, waiting to go in to tour the building, were at least 1,000 people, if not many more. They were four abreast, and the line went all the way along the side of the cathedral and across the front of it. And it dawned on me what's happened. There are these thousands of people coming for Mass, or for the tours, and there were 21 of us at Mass. What's happened is that the mystery has moved from this, the Eucharist, to the art, the architecture, to the wonder, how did they ever build such incredible buildings in the 12 and 1300s? I see the same thing here, oftentimes at weddings and funerals. Good Catholic families, but I say the Lord be with you. And the only ones that answer me are the servers and the cantor. Nobody knows what's going on. And yet when I look out, they're all going like this. They're awestruck by the building. The mystery has moved from here to the art and the architecture. And the challenge of the church is to get it back where it belongs. Amen.